to yearn for Jesus. Every single person, even those who hate God, even those who worship other idols, even those who want to destroy the church, even those who will look at this message and scoff at it, deep down in your soul, you yearn for the desire of nations. You yearn for God. But here's the big idea. It is a worthy endeavor to repeat the thoughts of God. Good morning, Claremont Baptist Church, and welcome to Sunday morning worship once again. You are tuning in to week 2 of our new sermon series entitled Echo, God's Thoughts Repeated. I want to give you the big idea once again. You might be tuning in for the first time or viewing this second part of the sermon series for the first time. But here's the big idea of the sermon series, that it is a worthy endeavor to repeat the thoughts of God, to mimic His actions, and to walk in His footsteps of ministry. And so God is our great example in and through Jesus Christ, the second part of the Trinity, God Himself, and we are called to be just like Jesus and to do the things that Jesus did. Today, the title is again very simple, Echo Part 2, and I'd like to share with you from the Bible just two short verses. And it's found in John chapter 12, verses 49 to 50. And to be technically correct, this is really very closely associated with last week's passage and last week's thrust for the entire sermon. And I would appreciate it if you'd read with me. You can follow on the screen or read in your own Bibles or phones, tablets, what have you. It reads as follows. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that His command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. John chapter 12, verses 49 to 50. Won't you pray with me for a brief moment as we commit the sermon to the Lord? Father, we thank You that this is Your time, Your space, and everyone that's listening to this is Your people. We pray, dear Lord Father, that You would work, that You would move through the power of Your Holy Spirit, and that You, dear Lord Father, would accomplish Your purposes through this particular sermon today. We give You praise, we give You glory, and we give You honor as we hope to echo Your thoughts, Your words, and Your deeds. In Jesus' name, amen. A few salient thoughts I'd like to share with you, and hopefully this won't be a long sermon either. I'm getting better at that, I'm told. And so pray for me as we try and keep this at a reasonable period. Jesus says, for I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. Jesus starts off in these two verses by recognizing the fact that on His own, as a human being, that He has nothing of great value to offer. And I would like to say that that applies to us non-incarnate human beings. Jesus was the only begotten Son of God. I'm not a son of God begotten, neither are you. You're not a daughter of God begotten. All of us are children of God by faith, adopted by God the Father. None of us have got a second navel to show that we come from the womb of God. We are born of the Spirit. We are birthed in the Spirit. And that umbilical cord that was cut on the day we were born and birthed into the spirit world is a spiritual belly button. You don't have two belly buttons. Neither do I. The point is, over here, brothers and sisters, that we are in a place where it's difficult to offer anything of eternal value in of ourselves. A bit later, a few chapters later, Jesus speaks in John chapter 15 about the importance of being connected to the vine. And the big idea in John chapter 15 is that nothing of eternal significance and spiritual vitality can be offered if we are not connected to Jesus. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, if you're not in relationship with the divine, then what you offer into this world, even as good works, even as acts of mercy, even as moments of ministry, you act in the flesh. And Jesus says here about his own words, he says, "For I did not speak on my own." I would like to encourage, maybe even challenge every listener here this morning, that when you move, when you do, and when you speak, that you do so not on your own. It is important that you realize that you are not an island. Thomas A. Kempis said that no man is an island. And he was absolutely correct that you need someone to partner with. Now, I'm not even talking about marriage. That's a great place to start. But you need people to be colleagues. You need people to be partners in business. You need someone to help you push through this life. You cannot do all of this on your own. And on an eternal spiritual level, you also need the very presence of God, the Father, the Holy Spirit in you, on you, around you, anointing you to accomplish something of spiritual and eternal significance. And Jesus says, even the simplest of tasks, "For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken." Walking with God is an important spiritual discipline and awareness tactic that Christians have got to master if we are to be successful in the sanctifying, holiness improving movement progression that we are called to. If you are a disciple in Christ Jesus, then walking with God, being in His presence, in Him, having your being, moving in Him, is going to be essential. Jesus understood this. And He says, "I do not even speak on my own." Forget about doing on my own. I don't even speak on my own. But now I want to blow your mind. And I don't mean that because what I'm about to say is prolific and profound. What I'm about to say is actually very base and obvious. But words do not just come out of their own. Now, gibberish can come out of its own. I could speak gibberish. I could just enunciate some sounds that have got no basis in proper language or in proper parlance. And it's just sounds that come out of my mouth. I don't even want to waste your time by giving an example of gibberish. But I do know that every word that I speak is ordered by my thoughts and by intention. Now, sometimes my mouth is faster than my brain. And then the result would be some form of gibberish or some form of spoonerism, which I'm prone to, by the way, where I reverse the words or the pronunciation of the words. And that has caused many people to laugh at me in the past. I laugh with you. Thank you very much. The point is that gibberish is sound or communication or noise without the presence of pre-thought. Jesus says, not only are my words measured by my partner who is God, the Holy Spirit, my thoughts, therefore, as the precursor to my words, have got to be captivated by God. And my challenge to you is, are you alone in your doings and your speakings? But even further, are you alone in your thoughts? God's presence is all pervasive. God's presence is all over. And God's desire for you is that there is nothing in your life where the presence of God does not arrest you, does not envelope you, and does not saturate you. You are called to be wet in God. When we baptize people, we baptize them in water. And water has got a way of getting into every nook and cranny. When we baptize you, we don't just rantizo you, sprinkle you. Rantizo is the Greek word for sprinkle. We don't just take a little bit of ceremonial water, that didn't go as planned, and sprinkle you just like that. No. What we do is we fill this baptism pit behind me to the brim, round about, just above waist level. We get you in there. I get in there with you. I take you by the scruff of your neck. I proclaim by the confession of your faith. And at your own request, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And not only do I sprinkle you, I dip you, I submerge you, and I force you beneath the surface of that liquid. Then raise you back to life. And the idea is that you are saturated by this water representing the Spirit and the presence of God, and there is nothing that is left untouched. And the things that must be damaged by water, like sin and the effects of sin and all of the things that are anti-God in your life, get damaged and destroyed by this water. And the things that are supposed to grow because of the water grow like the plants that we plant that need appropriate levels of water. God says all that holiness, all that obedience, all that following after me, all that taking up your cross, this saturation in life-giving water will cause it to grow. Are you alone? Are your thoughts alone? Because God calls you not even to think on your own. Your thoughts have got to be sanctified and saturated by God, by His presence. First challenge to you, I've got a series of challenges. The first challenge to you is, are you alone? So you shouldn't be alone on the level of your thinking. You shouldn't be alone on the level of your speech, by the way. And just by the way, the Bible in Proverbs, we just finished a series on Proverbs not too long ago, and the Bible is full of teaching in the New Testament, most notably James, the most famous passage about the tongue, that we can't bridle or boundary this tongue very easily. And that's because very often the presence of God is not controlling the thought processes before we speak. We need to allow God into our thoughts, into our words, and eventually it will seep through into our hands and our actions. So are you alone is your first challenge. Your second challenge is, who has sent you? And who has sent you is exactly the same. This is a little bit of conceptual redundancy that Jesus gets into. Listen to what he says. So I do not speak on my own, but he says, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. So the person that sends you, or he that sends you, is also he that commands you. Because to send you would be to command you to go somewhere. So who has sent you? And if you cannot answer that in the affirmative Godward, and say, well, Jesus sent me, this is what God told me to do, then you are sending yourself. And might I add that the self is the enemy of our spiritual endeavor as Bible-believing Christians. There are two things that sets the agenda for the Christian's life. And the first one is God Himself. The dynamic relationship that we have with God, He is the one that tells me what to do and where to go. Now, what do I mean by this dynamic relationship with God? So I'm going to say two things very quickly because I am running out of time. The first one is this. In the absence of the printed Bible, which was for more than 1,000 years, Christians did okay. Now, there was lots of room, of course, for the devil to try and deceive people, because there wasn't a printed record of all 66 books of the Bible readily available to reference the thoughts of God so that we could echo those thoughts. But in those 1400 years post Jesus, the church grew. The church missionized. Great spiritual leaders and fathers were produced to help usher in the evangelization of the world in the absence of a printed Bible. And I want you to understand that it's possible to be in relationship with Jesus, to be filled with His Holy Spirit, even when one does not have access to a printed Bible. Ask any Christian, if ever you have access to him or her, who are behind communist lines, or behind the Islamic curtain where it's illegal to be a Christian, and they don't have access to the written word of God, and they will tell you that it is possible to be in holy communion with God. And that's the dynamic I'm speaking of. I remember the day that I came to salvation in Christ Jesus. I was 16 years old, and it was an amazing experience. And that early hours of that morning, I instinctively knew, without knowing the Bible, knowing very little other than a few Sunday school stories about the faith, I instinctively knew that I would end up being a preacher. It's not what I would want to do, but something in my spirit was settled on the day I said yes to Jesus and no to myself, that told me, you will end up being a preacher. I was resolute from that day onwards that I would be a Bible preacher and teacher. And I haven't waned since. I've had a resolute, singular, focused energy towards that end, and I pray until the day I die, this is what I will be doing. Preaching God's word and leading people into hopefully a better relationship with Christ. And that's the dynamic I'm speaking of. I can't turn to the book of 3 Peter to speak about whether I'm called to be a preacher or not. For those of you who don't know, there is no 3 Peter. The point is, that's a dynamic relationship with Jesus. The second thing that sets the agenda, or supposed to set the agenda, is the written word of God. Nothing in my dynamic relationship with God can oppose what the Bible says. This is what I'm supposed to mimic. If it's not in you, if it's not sanctioned by this, if it's not explicit in you, or if it does not make theological sense, even if it's not explicit, then my friend, my brother, my sister, do not mimic it. Do not think it, do not do it. We can do without it. There are too many who are being sent by themselves. Now, having said that, I've just told you two things that sets the agenda other than self. Self is the enemy. We crucify self. We work against self because we operate by the law of the Spirit of God. It is by His rhythm and ebb and flow that we move. I'm not stubborn. I'm not disobedient. I listen to what God wants me to do, and that's what I do. That's the dynamic of relationship, and it is the set word of God that establishes my agenda. Secondly, I'd like to just elucidate on this idea of who sent you. And I want you to speak on the grace of opportunity. Now, not everything that you require to do demands great prayer and fasting. If you need to buy supper, like I'm going to have to do tonight, then I want you to understand you don't have to pray about it. It's not a fasting endeavor. I don't have to ask God, is it Kentucky tonight or is it Nando's? I don't think He particularly is concerned with what I consume tonight. But I do want you to know that as opportunity presents itself as a saturated person in God's will and in His presence, I take up opportunities as they might present themselves. Two illustrations here very quickly. The Apostle Paul went on two missionary journeys, and the Holy Spirit's ebb and flow and leading was quite evident in all the places and cities that he ended up in. And he didn't particularly pray about all of it. He was a praying man, and he trusted God to lead him to where he needed to go. Some of it really was circumstantial and moved him into places that took him away from his original plan. And you can read in the book of Corinthians where he speaks about wanting to have visited and was unable to do so, and he ended up somewhere else. So opportunity is a grace for the saturated soul in the Holy Spirit. But there's also this grace of revelation of the will of God. So there's the grace of opportunity, and for the saturated soul, we take the opportunities as they present themselves. But there's also the grace of revelation, and the grace of revelation is where Paul receives a vision of a Macedonian man calling him over and saying, come over here, apostle, and preach the gospel and strengthen the church over here. Another prophet gets up and says, that is an invitation, that is a revelation, that is an agenda of God, but if you go there, you'll end up in chains. There will be a cost to to your obedience, and we all know the story, Paul ends up there anyway, and rightly, as the prophet said, eventually ends up in chains. We are saturated by the Spirit. He sends me. And sometimes it's the grace of opportunity simply because I'm saturated in the presence of God, and sometimes it is the revelation. My question to you is, are you alone? And secondly, who sent you? I pray it's God. Thirdly, Jesus says this. He says, I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. I want to speak about the benefit, the result, and the reward of living a life where God sets the agenda through his word and the dynamic of your relationship with him, where God says you don't have to be alone, and also where you understand the grace of opportunity and the grace of invitation and the grace of revelation. But God also then says, listen, you need to understand the grace of reward for someone that works like this. And so my challenge to you is, what is your reward? You see, if you are working towards the rewards of the rat race, if you think that a greater promotion in your company or making more money in your business or being more influential or powerful in your organization, if that is your end goal, brother, sister, you have missed the boat. You do not understand the inner workings of Christ, because he couldn't care less what your title is. He couldn't care less about how much money you earn, because if that truly was on Jesus' heart, he would not come as a peasant boy. He would not work as a laborer or as a carpenter. He would not be part of an unknown, unheard of peasant family. But that's how we came. And he doesn't care about your demographic. He doesn't care about the power plays that exist within your experience. But he cares about the state of your eternity. And here's the thing, your spiritual dreams, your spiritual desires, as Isaiah says, the desire of all nations, excuse me, and what that means is the corporate desire of an entire nation can be wrapped up in one word, and his name is Yahweh, Jesus. You might not even know that, but you yearn for Jesus. Every single person, even those who hate God, even those who worship other idols, even those who want to destroy the church, even those who will look at this message and scoff at it, deep down in your soul, you yearn for the desire of nations. You yearn for God. For God. And God, you shall find me. He who diligently seeks the Father shall find him. You take one step to God, God takes two steps towards you. And so I want to tell you that all of your spiritual desire, whether you recognize it or not, will end up being fulfilled partially here, and in its fulfillment when Jesus comes to collect his bride and you spend eternity in his presence and sanctified in a new reality. But also, in that new reality, every need that you could ever want, every physical object that you've ever desired will be yours. Now, obviously, it's got to be a sanctified desire. But God not only blesses you spiritually, God is going to bless you in that day physically as well. He's preparing, according to John chapter 14, a room for you. And this room is more like a mansion. It's not like a separate entrance in someone's backyard. This isn't a backyard dweller. God is preparing for you something that is beyond your imagination. It is way beyond what you could even think of. There are rewards when we listen to God, when we echo God. So my three challenges are as follows. Are you alone? Who sent you? And what is your reward? I pray that as you reflect and examine your own life according to these questions and these challenges, that you would not be on your own, that the Spirit of God would saturate you, every crevice of your soul, every netherland of your spirit, and every body part of yours. I pray that you would realize that you cannot send yourself, or have some other spiritual entity or false god send you, but Jesus himself will send you. Understand the grace of opportunity and understand the grace of invitation and the grace of revelation. And last but not least, I want you to understand that there is eternal reward. There really is. And I want to encourage you to follow Jesus, echo his thoughts, his words, and his actions, and there will be an eternal reward waiting for you. Pray with me as we commit you and me to the Lord. Father, we thank you for this word. And I ask you, Lord, Father, that you would never leave us nor forsake us. Not because you need us, dear Lord, but because we need you. And I pray right now, dear Lord, Father, that every person who is alone, who feels lonely, that you would, by grace, saturate them right now in Jesus' name. Also pray for those who feel, dear Lord, that they are being pushed around by forces beyond their control that is not of God. And I pray that you would arrest those forces and then send them, dear Lord, and allow them to see the grace of opportunity, the grace of invitation, and the grace of revelation. Also pray, dear Lord, in Jesus' name, that we, dear Lord, would receive an eternal reward at its time as you deem fit. We ask this for your sake in Jesus' name. Amen.